you say you lost in the election. So you say that your party wasn't what it should be. So you say that even your local representative and your dog catcher are Democrats now. Is that what's troubling you, Bunkie? Well, get ready, because it's the post-election edition of Political QRM, and if you think we were mad before, strap it on, Bunkie, because we're on our way to your door.
Okay,
fine. Are we live? Are we live?
We are live, my dear man. Oh, my God.
Oh, we're live.
We're live. Yeah.
Okay.
We're live, but we're barely alive. America is barely alive at this point.
No, I'm alive.
I'm alive? Yeah, well, America is barely alive.
Love and Rockets, 1983, 4. I'm alive.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We can't play it.
Being a DJ, I remember this stuff. As a matter of fact, for what it's worth, I went through, I've been ripping a bunch of my music to digitize it, to be able to get back into the swing of things as a disc jockey. And of course, everything's done by electronic means now. There's no more vinyl. So I've been digitizing my entire library, and I just recently digitized the entire decade of the 1970s.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. So I checked the, computer geeks will know what I mean. I checked the MD5 sums, which means everything transferred correctly from, one format to another. But I decided I'd listen to some of it just because, what the heck? Let's see what it sounds like. Bring it up, Out of 500-odd tracks, I skipped probably 300 because they were lousy. The 70s was not a good decade for music.
Not
I didn't even count disco.
Not the beginning of the 70s.
So anyway, whether you consider it pop or rock or classic rock or whatever, it sucked, folks. When I stop and think about that transference of music from the 70s, I stop and think about the day I pulled the lever for Ronald Reagan.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You want to talk about a body that's in a tomb somewhere that's spinning around so fast.
Yes.
It can set the clocks back.
Yep. Yep, I agree. Are you kidding? Not only is Ronald Reagan spinning his graves, but my grandparents are spinning their grave right now. Both sets.
Both sets on my side.
Yeah.
Both sets on my side.
I mean, they both both sets left Mussolini, fascist Italy.
Oh, yeah?
Okay? To come here.
Fascisti.
My maternal grandfather came here, and at the time when he came here, he was so proud to be an American. Because actually, he fought in World War One. The American government came to him and said, listen, we're going to make you a deal. We're at war now. If you go and fight for us, and if you survive, we'll give you your citizenship. And he did, okay. That son of a gun. They sent him to France. He took care of the horses because he had a donkey cart business when he was in Italy. And but he came, and he was a very proud American. Came back. Very proud American. He had one son who fought in World War II. Very, very proud. Very proud. Loved America. And now we have is, the president, second time around, who hates America.
I'm going to refrain from using that word again. Listen, I think I expounded on the fact that my grandfather, on my dad's side, never, he came here in 1921. So
it was after World War One, yeah.
Right after World War One, and he was buried in Holy Sepulchre Cemetery, and next to Grandma. And the only reason he's buried, the only reason he's buried next to her is because she became a citizen of the United States, and he never did.
Really?
I believe I've expounded this before. Grandpa never became a citizen. all the years that he lived here, and until he passed on in February. And in that January, during that 30 days or 31 days, but don't make me go through the poem. During that time frame of January, he had Uncle Carmine go down to the post office and get the form. You remember, he used to have to fill out this form. And he filled it out for all those years. 7 years he filled out that form.
You're kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. And let me explain to the people listening, you know, the reason he never stopped filling out the form, and never, even though Nona was a citizen, he did not believe. Now, here's a man who planted telephone poles for a living before there were machines to do it, manually, pick and shovel. Not only pick and shovel, but pull it off of the rail car or pull it off of the truck manually with 8 guys and stick it in the hole and fill it up with dirt. This is the way it was built. Now, this man who came here in 1921 did not believe he deserved to be an American. This great country was so monumental to him, he didn't. In the voyage bed.
Okay. Go ahead.
What'd I do?
No, not you.
Okay. He did not believe that he deserved the right to call himself an American. He believed that he wasn't good enough to be an American. And how often do you see humility like that in this day and age?
No, you won't. You won't. You have people coming up from Mexico who think that they deserve to get welfare, you know, and all social services as soon as they come over the border.
Welfare. There, by the time he passed away, there wasn't any such thing. I mean, there was such a thing, but barely.
Yeah.
I had uncles and stuff that were part of the WPA and the CC camps and... You know, all of that kind of stuff. And then after that, of course, you know, that jaunt into futilism.
Yes.
They all served in World War II, Korea, and all of us, the nieces, nephews, cousins, we all served in Korea and various and sundry other insurgencies. And then, of course, Vietnam. And some of our third and fourth generation are serving currently. As a matter of fact, I have a second cousin, who is coming home and retiring after 20 years as a master sergeant from the United States Army. Tommy, you know who you are. And God bless you and thank you for your service, my nephew, my cousin, my brother. And by the way, another veteran of the 18th Corps Airborne, God bless you, hoorah. Airborne all the way and all that stuff, 20-year man, and good for him. But, again, going back to Nono, he did not believe he belonged here. I mean, he loved it here. He enjoyed every moment he was here. He raised, out of 13, he raised 9 of them here. In the days of the Depression and in the days of, you know, the war and, you know, ration cards and everything else, and to the day he died, still felt undeserving of the title American citizen.
This is depressing.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to depress
anyone. I mean, look how much... The citizenry of America has changed. Look how much they have no concept of being patriotic, and
they all believe entitled.
Yes, they're entitled. They're entitled to everything. They're entitled to everything in the world here.
Here we go. We're starting to slip already.
We're slipping. Sorry. No, the reason why we talk about our ancestors, folks, is because it's such a marked difference from what's going on now. And
no, I'm in Maine, and Amory's in New Hampshire. But our roots are in New Jersey. I'm a downnecker. Yeah. If you don't know what that means, never mind. Amory.
I'm originally from Cliffside Park, which is.
Well, that's all Bergen County.
Bergen County, and my town. I mean, looked out on Manhattan, and that was there.
You know, from your town, you could see the Statue of Liberty.
No. No, we were up. We were the Upper West Side, Grant's Tomb, okay. Riverside Church.
Oh, all right. Hey. That's nice, too.
Oh, no, it was gorgeous. I mean, everything that we looked at, it was like, and when I used to have friends come up, whether they were from college or whatever, they used to stand at the end of my street and look and go, oh, my God. And I'm like, what? Well, oh, yeah, it's New York. Because I've always seen it. It's always been there.
It's always been there. And we stop and think about the fact, and I'm sure that it's to some extent true for you. I remember watching the World Trade Center grow.
Gosh, are you kidding me? In my area, there was such... Oh, my gosh. I mean, people were like, this is horrible. It's going to ruin the skyline of New York City. It's disgusting. I mean...
But you can still see the Empire State Building.
Yes, but the Empire State Building was it. Now there was going to be the Twin Towers. But you know what? After they were built, everybody rushed to them to go see the view, go to Windows on the World.
Yep, and go to the IMAX theater downstairs. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And, darn it. I mean, I remember going into New York City and going past Twin Towers, and you couldn't see half of it because it was covered by the clouds, for crying out loud.
Right. Yeah. I guess it's too late for... statute of limitations on such things have probably expired, but I used to play hooky from high school.
Oh.
And they can't take my diploma away now.
No, they don't think so.
But I used to play hooky from high school and go to New York City and go to the Twin Towers, go to the Chrysler Building, go to... it was funny because we used to get off in Lower Manhattan because we used to take the tubes. The tubes mm-hmm. were... The Hudson Tubes were actually a transit line that involved train traffic. It for people in the Midwest who don't know what I'm talking about. We used to take the tubes. It was a nickel to get from New Jersey to New York. And if we took it from Newark, it was a dime.
Yeah.
If we took it from Hoboken, it was a nickel. But that was...
Those were years ago.
Those were years ago. In the meantime... The issue with us being from where we are from and being who we are is the fact that we don't understand, or at least I don't, the race card. I haven't, and I don't, and I probably never will. I grew up, and again, down neck, and got, for crying out loud, Google it if you're not from New Jersey. Downneck itself was so multicultural, you couldn't get away from other cultures. Not that you wanted to mix or intermingle or anything. You couldn't get away from other cultures. Whether it was Cubans, whether it was Portuguese, whether it was the we used to call it Dutch neck. It was anything of the Low Countries at all. Whether it was... South Street, where there were, well, we call them African Americans now. We used to call them colored. We had an entire nation in one square mile.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have an entire nation down the tube.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what happened in Maine? For the presidential election, huh?
I looked at the metrics yesterday, so I'm probably going to have to click one of these machines up and remind myself. What happened? Well, considering the fact that the people of Maine never met a bond issue they didn't like,
mm-hmm.
They just went absolutely positively. They voted for gridlock. Yeah. They voted for gridlock. on every level, from dog catcher to President of the United States.
Did they vote overwhelmingly for Ron Paul, or what? Well, what happened with the Ron Paul?
No. They you know what happened is because Ron Paul was not the Republican candidate.
Yeah.
And because Johnson was the Libertarian candidate.
Yeah.
They couldn't vote for Paul as a Libertarian because Johnson was a Libertarian candidate. And they had to vote for Romney, so they didn't.
They didn't vote for Gary Johnson then at all.
No, they did.
Some people probably did.
Some people probably did, but I'm saying, you know, out of the ones that are actually listed on whichever website I tracked it down to, because of the fact that Johnson was the candidate that took Paul's place as a Libertarian when he switched over to the Republican Party, they had to vote Republican, but they decided not to, and several of them went for Obama rather than vote for Romney.
Are you kidding?
They were deprived. Well, from what I saw, now, mind you, some of it, for the people who don't know, it's Saturday. Some of my data goes back to Wednesday morning. So it could have been recounted and changed, but yeah, no, they did not vote for Johnson, and they did not vote for Romney. What's that leave? Either the commie or the socialist?
Well, why didn't they just stay home?
Well, I think they feel a compulsion to go because they were selected to be that, you know, to be an elector in the Electoral College. I mean, if they called me, I'd consider, first of all, I consider the Electoral College an outdated, abandonable. I know we disagree on that point, but if I were called to be an elector, I'd cherish the opportunity to go and throw my vote in the ring.
Well, you know, the thing that gets me is that, you know, I mean, how can these people who profess to be libertarians say, you know, sit there and say, oh, I'm going to vote for Obama?
Because
they
could not.
He's a freaking communist.
Because the idea of communism is closer to libertarianism than straight conservatism.
No, it is not. It is not.
Wait now. Wait, you're talking to me, and I understand the difference, but they don't.
Oh, okay. All right. That's what they think. I mean, communism is a series of what you can't do in the world.
They look at the word libertarian and they look at the word liberal and say that's the way we should be.
Then they don't know what the hell they're talking about. They haven't done their research.
I wrote my requiem for the Republican Party 4 years ago.
Yes, you did, and it's a good one.
As far as I'm concerned, that was extreme unction.
Yeah. You have to be Catholic to understand that, but that's okay.
At this point, now we don't need extreme unction. Now we need graveside services.
Well, you know, I'm pretty fed up because, you know, let me tell you what happened in New Hampshire. New Hampshire, we now have a Democrat governor. Oh, joy. By the way, this woman, when she was in the house, the state house, she was head of the representatives, I guess, yeah, state representative. She was head of it when the Democrats had power here before. And the thing was is that she advocated tax hikes, not only with property taxes, but the installation of an income tax, which we don't have. So somebody, I don't know, everybody votes this woman in. Why? I don't know. I mean, just stupid. What, people don't think with their pocketbook anymore? Plus, we lost both seats in the House of Representatives. Both of them are both Democrat. And it's like, what is, and plus, I'm going to be honest with you now. Now, we used to have all Republican in the House in our state. Not anymore. It's all Democrat. And boo-hoo. I mean, you people are idiots. And I can tell you right now, there's going to be a big push for an income tax. So we only had two counties that went Republican and went for Romney.
We're blessed in the fact that our state legislature stayed level.
You're lucky. Ours didn't.
Where we lost, somewhere else we gained.
Uh-huh.
Our, you know, we got Shelley Pingree. We got Bill Diamond. We've got, you know, now we have Angus King.
senator, right?
Mm-hmm. And he got in because name recognition, period.
Yeah.
They remember Angus King. The problem that they don't remember about Angus King is he was such a complete and total liberal. We have in Maine, do you remember the Adonisio plan?
No. Tell me.
In 1967, Hugh Adonisio, the mayor of Newark, came up with his 25-year plan.
Okay.
For which he went to prison.
All right.
Hugh Adonisio said, after the very first spate of civil unrest in the city of Newark, New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
he has a 25-year plan. If they burn it down, leave it down with a moratorium on repairing it for 25 years.
See, I was 11 years old then, so, you know.
So, well, I mean, that's not exactly the only thing that sent them to prison, but the idea is...
Yeah, but I agree with them. Darn it, now I agree with them.
If they burn it down, leave it down for 25 years. Well, in a similar vein, Angus King, when he was governor of Maine, decided... Mm-hmm. On the vacation land plan.
What?
You are either a tourist or working up by and for the tourist industry, or you're not within the physical geographical confines of the state of Maine.
Mm-hmm.
He cost us, just in his terms, 50,000 manufacturing jobs.
Oh, isn't that nice of him?
Because he levied sanctions and taxes on businesses that were not tourist businesses, that were, let's just say they were higher.
Mm-hmm.
And we lost a lot of manufacturing. And Maine became a tourist service economy. Well, that's great when the economy's good. But when people aren't traveling, well, that really sucks.
Mm-hmm.
So you take a year like this year when the economy was so bad that people didn't travel. Well, yeah, you start losing some dollars, don't you? Especially considering now you don't have the manufacturing jobs to pick up the slack. The oppressiveness of the... If I were to own a business in the state of Maine under the King and Baldacci administrations and I bought equipment, and it doesn't matter if it was a major... let's call it a lathe that manufactures shafts for, you know, for cruise ships. These things are 25 feet long and things like that. Or... if it was a calculator, you had to pay an amortized tax on it as an asset.
Okay.
A calculator? Really? Yeah, really! A calculator!
Mm-hmm.
Now, the tax might have only come to 2 cents.
That's still, okay.
For 5 years. But you got 100 calculators in your building? That's $2. Now you got 100 typewriters? That's $200. Now you got 100 computers. Now it's $2,000. Now you got a lathe. It's $2,500. You got a milling machine. It's $3,500. You got a major crankshaft manufacturing mill to make crankshafts for cruise ships. That's $50,000. Now, if you put up a ski lift, it was untaxable.
Oh, yeah, because it's tourist stuff.
So now with that record, just because people knew his name, he is now our United States Senator.
Oh, joy.
Which side of the aisle do you think he lives on?
Democrat.
He ran as an independent.
Ah. Yeah, but who's he going to caucus with once he gets down to Washington? Who do you think? What party?
Well, he could avoid the caucuses. It's all a question of how he votes.
No. Both, though. I bet
he'll walk away from the caucuses. Oh, no, I'm an independent. I don't have to go to these caucuses.
Because
he's going to vote it.
Yeah, but because, what's his name from Connecticut?
Lieberman.
Thank you. He used to caucus with the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
He was an independent.
Yep.
But he caucuses, and you know, I'll bet you King caucuses with the Dems.
Caucusing is one thing, but the caucusing doesn't count.
Yeah, I know that.
And that's the point. He should caucus with the Republicans and say aye to the Democrat bills. It doesn't matter. It's all a question of how he votes.
Yeah.
And you know, but he could put up a good show when he wants to go for re-election. Well, you know, I caucused with the Republican Party, and he voted Democrat.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
It's all smoke and mirrors for them anyway. Face it.
So can you tell me why the hell we lost?
Yes.
Well, go ahead. Please, enlighten me.
We took a knife to a gunfight.
Yeah, exactly. These people.
Well, you want anything deeper than that, we can go into it. But you want to know why we lost? We took a knife to a gunfight.
Geez, you know, it's amazing because, again, and I have told this to people, and people just don't understand it, and I have told to people up here in New Hampshire, and they ignore it. They look at me like I'm some sort of idiot. The Democrat Party is now the Communist Party. Now, the American Communist Party is still there. But that
the American Communist Party backed Barack Obama.
Exactly. But you have to understand, the way communists work is that they try and finagle themselves into an establishment. An establishment party, an establishment, you know, organization. And that's how they do it. They infiltrate and they eventually take over. And that's what they did. Because you cannot have a candidate run out of the American Communist Party, although they do, and also win. It's not going to happen.
Let me tell you why. They run an unelectable candidate under the Socialist Workers Union. They run an unelectable candidate under the American Communist Party.
Or the Family Workers Party, too.
Whatever. You know, anything that involves workers, socialists, communists, you know, labor, anything that like that in their title, they run unelectable candidates.
Yes.
And then they back Barack Obama. Why? Because they want to be part of the mainstream two-party system.
Yeah, but
we keep insisting on having two parties and then allowing third parties to take a piece of our vote.
Well, you see, the thing is that the Democrat Party is now the Communist Party.
It has been.
It is. Indeed, it has. But the thing is that Republicans don't understand that. And because they are run by communists, what happens now is that they use all communist tactics in the elections, in advertising, in using the word speak, and everything, you know, news speak, everything. Everything that you have seen that has happened under Stalin, under Khrushchev, under all those leaders in the Soviet Union.
Lenin, Stalin,
yes,
Khrushchev.
Democrat Party has
Putin.
Medvedev.
I'm sorry, my Russian.
Medvedev. Okay, but the thing is that just with Obama's slogan "Forward," that comes from Stalin. That comes, and you can see it on posters. Fyedor. I mean, you can see it. Okay, in Russian. And that's what they took it from. And the stupid American people, and yes, you are stupid. I'm sorry. I am so sorry.
No. I'm going to scream. Keep going.
No. Yeah, I have to. Because what is wrong with you people that you actually voted this man in again? What do you want? What, you want me to, do you want me to cut a vein? Really? Seriously? Because I'll tell you right now, I'm not giving you crap. And all these charities that call me, I can no longer give to you. Okay? I can't, because I'm going to be looking out for me, because I'm going to be taxed to the hilt.
Listen,
because you people decide.
We have a phrase in Latin, "Que habeas stercorum et caput tuum."
My Latin.
What do you got? Excrement in your brains?
That's what it seems like. It seems like, yes.
I want to say that I will give the American people so much credit as to say they are stupid.
Well, there's a bunch of them out there. I mean, with the women's vote? Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
You know, people, the women will line up and say.
Women's
vote. There's a T-shirt out there. If you go to the various T-shirt sites that say, you know, that they're printed with, "My eyes are up here with an arrow."
Oh, bite me. Seriously. No, seriously,
and,
women.
And, well, wait, now, you know, come on, I'm sorry. This is not something, you know, in this day and age, we tend to boil it down to some sort of political correctness. I'm sorry, look, speaking from a male perspective, all right? Yes. The idea of the way we are built, and it goes right down the line from breasts to such things as pubic hair.
Yes.
And I'm speaking anthropologically here. All right. This has to do with what we call in the military target acquisition.
Okay. Okay. No, it's all right. Sorry.
And look, men are hardwired to look there.
Yes.
Men are hardwired to look there and say, okay. Female of the species.
That's right. No, seriously. Yes. I agree with you on that.
And this is Darwin. This is all of them. And you don't have to get into Freud. You don't need to bother.
No.
This is hardwired into our DNA. Female of the species. Okay. Target acquired.
That's true.
And when you stop and think about it, I don't care how many t-shirts or bumper stickers you have.
Mm-hmm.
You're a
mm-hmm.
female, and my... Bless my wonderful wife. She understands that I love her so deeply that there's no one that could ever. And Democrats, you can all line up and say, well, what about this one? Nope, sorry. I got it better. Well, what about this one? Morgan Fairchild. You know, what about, what's the one that did the movies in the skin tight suits?
Got me on that one.
Oh, she's got three dead babies in her lips. Well, it doesn't matter. Well, what about this one? Nope, sorry, I got it better. I got it better because I got a woman who loves me. But in the meantime, when she walks past me on the street, do I see the attributes that have to do with my target acquisition radar? Why, yes, I do. Because it's hardwired into my DNA. But
no matter how old you are, right?
Right. My grandpa lived to 104, and when he was sitting there at 101 in his little chair on the corner of Van Buren and Oliver Streets in Newark, when a pretty girl walked by, he looked.
Of course he did.
Now,
there you go.
You'll sit there, but not you, but women will sit there and say, oh, you're thinking with the wrong head.
Well, look. You know, I've got to tell you a quick story. I brought a friend of mine who's of Ukrainian background down to the North End in Boston. So what's
in the North End is a Ukrainian?
No. He was a friend of mine. Okay, I brought him down there because he was interested.
I thought they were all dagos down there.
Of course they are. You idiot! What the hell's wrong with you? No, I brought him down. I said, come on, let's go to the North End. Okay. But anyway, we walked past the car. You know how Italian men are. They either sit in cars a lot of times on the street, mm-hmm. or they'll sit
on a bench.
On the kitchen table, on the kitchen chairs and that they bring down and stuff like that.
Yep, yep, yep.
So we walked past.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, and I walked past, and there was a man a little bit older than I was at the time, and he winked at me. In the car, right? I just happened to look his way, and he winked at me. And my friend went, he winked at you. And I said, yeah?
Of course he did.
And he said, but he winked at you. I said, you don't know Italian men.
If he didn't, you'd be surprised.
I said, you don't know Italian men. I said, come on, you know? If it's a woman, they look and they wink. If, you know, they're just like, so, yeah, no, you're right.
If he didn't wink, it's because he was blind.
Yeah. I mean, come on, you know, I was a woman, he was a man. Okay, so I understand that. But once you get into the Democrat version of what a woman is supposed to be and their ideas and what they deserve and what they need. And let me just say, every single one of you that have voted for Obama because you were afraid of losing your rights. What rights? What rights? If Romney got in, were you going to lose your right to vote? Were you going to lose your right to read or go to school or work or, you know, or speak? No, that's a right.
Or not wear a burqa.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, you're talking about birth control. Hey, if you want to have sex, go ahead, have sex. I don't care. Why should it be my responsibility?
It's my body. It's my body.
That's right.
Get the government out of my body.
Exactly.
Take government out of my body. I don't want my body to answer to the government. Well, what's with the government program providing you birth control?
Exactly. But you know what? The Republicans didn't fight back. The Republicans sat there and did not come back at them. If they had come back at them with those points that I just mentioned, they
probably... What was that girl's name? What was that girl's name that made that video? She's supposed to be some kind of star.
Lena Dunham.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, God in heaven. It was like she was having sex with Obama.
For real? Well, she wasn't having sex with Obama, per se. She was having sex with the programs and protocols and pogroms. And of course... Mitt Romney was going to take all of these fantasies and all of these... I'm not going to get more graphic than that. I could, but I'm not going to.
It was stupid. What did they think? Did they really think that Romney and Ryan were going to have commando raids on them in the middle of the night and take away their birth control?
Let me go back to something I've said in 25 or 26 podcasts behind it, and I bet you I've said it in 20 of them. Anyone that's out there that's able, because of the fact they're not a felon, and they're over 18, you know, and an American citizen, that goes to the polls believing in the fact that the President of the United States can change law by fiat, should not be allowed to vote.
Exactly. Because they have absolutely no knowledge of our political system. and seriously, they don't. They have no clue. Do you know, I was listening to Glenn Beck the other day, and what they did was that they interviewed a bunch of college students that were online to vote on Election Day. Do you know that many of them could not name the three branches of government?
That's right. They could not only name the three branches of government, they couldn't identify... Oh, no, wait. What? I'm crossing Sean Hannity with Glenn Beck. They could not identify people like Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid.
That's right. Yes, I heard that.
In New Jersey, when it was a man on the street interview, they could not identify Chris Christie. They could not identify Mike Bloomberg. Not that I'm any fan of his, but no. Not that I'm any fan of any of them. But I'm waiting for Monday. I'm waiting for Monday when the town office has returned. The town office has returned to being open. Not this Monday. Tuesday when the town
because
office...
Because it's Veterans Day on Monday.
That's
and thank
right.
you for your service.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you for acknowledging it. Tuesday, when the town office is open, I'm going to do something I swore I would never do when I was 18 years old. I swore I wouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to re-register myself on the voter rolls. I am taking my name out of the Republican Party.
Yeah, and I'm going to do the same thing when it comes time here. I'm going to be registered as an independent because we don't have any other option in New Hampshire.
If I have the option, I'll take independent, but if I have the option, I will register myself as a constitutional moderate.
You know, it's just ridiculous.
A radical constitutional constructionist is probably more down the right line, but I'm going to register myself if I have to. If the only other option is independent, I'm taking it. I've had it. Cottage on the GOP.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the thing is, too, is that I have two articles here. One of them, in Ohio, okay, this is from Front Page Magazine. It's voter fraud. Obama won by 108% of registered voters in Ohio County. It was the Ohio County of Wood County. 108%. Excuse me?
Well, how does that happen?
Oh, gee, I don't know. Wait a minute. Listen to this. St. Lucie County, Florida, had 141% turnout. Obama won county. Okay. All right. Why isn't the GOP and Romney going after this?
Why is there? Well, you know what? We have to give credit where it's due. Alan West ain't standing for this stuff.
No. He is. You know, Florida has certified Patrick Murphy as the winner, but Alan West is saying nope.
Nope.
He won't concede. He said
he won't concede. And you know what? This is the difference. This is the difference we haven't seen since Ike.
Yeah.
This is the difference. Even JFK, the veteran that he was, this is a difference we haven't seen from since Ike. This is a man who's saying, I'm a senior officer in the military, and I don't like the way this battle was fought. And I'm going to stand here and insist that history write it down the way it took place.
He is a man of great courage, conviction. I mean, I really admire him. I do. I admire Alan West.
Had he been a Republican candidate, not only could he have won.
You know, and you know something? If we had gotten somebody, even Newt Gingrich, I know a lot of people have a lot of criticism with Newt Gingrich, but you know what? You put him against Obama in a debate, he would have torn Obama from head to toe. Honest to God, he would have. In half.
And on every policy factor.
Exactly.
Foreign, domestic,
yes.
Economic.
Exactly.
He would have been there.
Exactly.
And he would have fought the fight. You know, you notice he wasn't out there?
I know.
You notice during the campaign he wasn't out there? And it wasn't sour grapes, boys and girls.
No, they didn't want him.
They didn't want him. They said, Newt, stand back. Well, you know, I got to say the same thing. Yeah, Clinton campaigned here and there and in the next place, but he wasn't as visible as he could have been as a former president of the United States. You'd think he would have been every day. He would have been all over the top of the news feeds.
Mm-hmm.
Where was he last night? What did he say?
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? Then it would have been his campaign and not Obama's, and Obama didn't want him to be out in the limelight.
Of course not.
No.
Of course not, because if nothing else, he had to keep Hillary in check.
Yeah. Yeah. No, because you know what? You put Obama and Clinton in a room, and Clinton takes over the limelight. And when Obama had these large crowds,
Clinton was
there.
The first black president.
Yeah, of course. Actually, yes, he was. Who said that? Was it Sheila Jackson Lee, or was it...
No, I don't remember who Sheila Jackson Lee or Maxine Waters. I don't remember which one
of
it was.
Those morons, but sorry, but they are. They're idiots. You know, and the thing that really bothers me is that they're not going to do anything. GOP isn't going to do anything. Rhymes going to say, oh, the people have spoken. No, they haven't. No, it's voter fraud. And, you know, the funny thing is
well, the problem is the people have spoken. It's just that we listen to certain people, living or dead, that, you know, spoke, and we didn't listen to the people who actually cared.
Yeah. But you know what? The fact that, you know, this is another thing. Ohio and Florida, those were two key...
Oregon!
Yeah. No, but those were two key states, okay? Those are the two...
Florida and Ohio were definitely swinging.
Now,
yeah.
The thing is that they focused... I think that's where they focus, obviously, their voter fraud most heavily, you know?
Well, no, I think they put a certain amount of it in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, too.
True.
Because of the hurricane, and they were able...
It was easy.
Yeah, it was easy. That was a gimme. You know, that was, oh, shoot, this is an easy one. You know, so they just stacked it, packed it, and racked it, and they walked away saying, all right, mission accomplished. You know, that was something that they didn't even... Well, first of all, because New York and New Jersey were red states... Blue states to begin with.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Years ago, when I was a young voter, if the sign was blue, it was a Republican.
That's right.
If the sign was red, it was a Democrat.
That's right. Yeah.
Sometime in the 2004 election, that changed.
Mm-hmm.
Because red, of course, had been associated for years with communism.
Mm. Yes.
Better red than dead. So they started to swing that around, and nobody noticed but me.
Oh, no, I noticed also, believe me.
Well, yeah, of course you did, but I'm saying most of the public at large did not notice the fact that they changed the sign color. And they changed the assignment color from red to blue.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm a red guy, and I'm sorry, I spent many years saying better dead than red. But I'm a red guy in basically a red state. I am living in a red state. Out of the 1.3 million people that live in this state, I bet you a million of them are red. The problem is the 0.3 million vote early and often.
Exactly.
And out of the 1 million that are red, some of them, you know, they just, and this is where, for people who are unaware of the fact that we were online Wednesday, this is where I have a problem. And I'm going to try and not scream. Only because of the engineering aspect of it.
Nah, go ahead. Sounds those like Mark Levin. It's okay.
Those of you who decided that your child, go back to the intro. You say your kid has soccer. You say your daughter has violin. You say that dinner needs to be on the table. Is that what's troubling you, Bunky? So you didn't go out and vote, you numbnuts? What's wrong with you? There are people dying to vote across the, you know, across the world, the globe. There are people who we have freed that put their fingers up for the UP and the Associated Press and CNN and MSNBC and Fox News and all those other people, and they stick their finger up with the purple on it saying, I voted today for the first time in my natural life, and you stayed home to make beef stroganoff?
With them was probably Hamburger Helper, but go ahead.
Hamburger Helper. Look, it's bad enough you stayed home and didn't vote, but you're going to put toxic chemicals into your kid, too? What on earth were you thinking?
And you know what, though, Lou? There were also a great number of evangelicals did not vote because Romney was a Mormon. Also, there were quite a number of conservatives that did not vote because Romney wasn't as conservative as they wanted him to be. So there we go on that one.
If you think for a second, you know, look, we've discussed the Catholics and the Jews in the past, and their issues that they face individually and as a group, deciding whether or not the support of the State of Israel and deciding whether or not the issue of coverage of such things as birth control, the late-term abortion, and these things. We've discussed the Catholics and the Jews at length in the past. But for the evangelical Christian community to decide to either abstain or vote the other way just in some sort of self-righteous protest, there's a reason people don't like you!
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason people think you're an ass, and that's one of them.
Exactly.
There's a reason that if you came to my house with your little pamphlets, I not only will slam the door in your face, but if you insist on knocking again, I will knock you physically off my porch. You think I'm kidding? Stop by. You'll be lucky if I don't shoot you. You're costing me my nation. You're costing me a nation that part of the red in the stripes on the flag is my blood. You want to play stupid, silly little games with something as important as the most crucial election in our lifetime. Or at least mine.
No, and everybody's.
And you want to come knock on my door and tell me that I'm either going to listen to you or be condemned. I'm going to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to tell me that you vote, you don't like the fact that when I look at you in a certain way or my eyes are focused somewhere other than your eyes, that I'm a terrible human being, and consequently, you voted for the wrong guy because you were misinformed by your own volition?
Mm-hmm.
there's a term they use for a certain way people are slapped. I'm going to use it on you. Yeah. Because you deserve it. Wake up. It's not too late, but God darn close. You got to give me a break here, boys and girls. Claire, I know you know better. My beautiful wife, Debbie, I know you know better. And Amory, I know for a fact you know better. The rest of you that might trip over this podcast that are female, we'll call it that, and are going to sit there and pick me apart for it because you stayed home because your husband expected dinner. Well, you know what? He expected dinner because he's a conservative guy and he's been out working all day and you've been home. But in the meantime, get in your minivan. Stick the kids in the back seat with their DVD player in the roof rack that pulls down. Order a Happy Meal or a pizza and get your butt to the pull. Oh, I'm sorry you didn't. Take your licks and like it.
Yep. And you know what they say. They say that elections have consequences, and they've already begun. Mass firings.
Mass firings.
Yes. Yes, I have a very long list here. I would like to go through at least some
of the major corporations that have already let people go.
Well, there's a lot of them. Listen to this. Teco coal officials announced layoffs. They're located in Kentucky. Momentive Inc. plans temporary layoffs for 150. They are a specialty chemical materials. Wilkes-Barre officials
Wilkes-Barre.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, my sister lives there, so I know.
That. Wilkes-Barre. Yeah. I know that. I don't know why I did that. Obviously, they're in Pennsylvania. They're announcing mandatory layoffs. 600 layoffs at Groupon. Okay. Now, Groupon's kind of going down anyway, but more layoffs announced at Anniston Weapons Incinerator. What they deal with is chemical weapons. They're in Alabama. Murray Energy confirms 150 layoffs at three subsidiaries, which coal in Ohio. 130 laid off in Minnesota dairy plant closure. A Stanford in Kentucky brake company plant to lay off 75. They're all automotive parts. ATI, which is a career training center based in Texas, 172 workers. SpaceX claims its first victims at Rocketdyne, lays off 100. Providence Journal, Rhode Island, lays off 23 employees, although I don't think that that's really a loss. Got to put some levity in this. CVPH, which is a medical center in Plattsburgh, New York, they're laying off 17. New Energy lays off 40 employees. They're in Maryland, Columbia, Maryland. They're alternative energy, but they're not just...
Solyndra. Yeah.
They're not Solyndra type. 102 Utah miners laid off because of war on coal, which is what the company says. U.S. Cellular drops Chicago, cuts 640 jobs.
Let's go back to the one in particular that caught my attention, the one in Kentucky that has to do with coal.
Okay, the Teco coal?
Teco,
yeah.
Yes.
Teco.
Teco. Okay, you know, the Obama administration is anti-coal anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're going to get rid of it. Now, you people out there who think, well, you know, coal is contributing to global warming and coal is contributing to bad things across the globe. Well, you know what? If you run a little shop in Kentucky and you hold to that belief that, you know, coal is evil, coal is bad, coal is contributing to global climate change, this and anything. Well, you know what? If you were selling little handmade bundles of soap and little handmade essential oil perfumes and little handmade this and the other thing, and you were charging $7 or $8 or $9 or $10 or $12 or $15 or $20 for whatever product people were walking in and buying, not that I can imagine anything $20 selling in Kentucky anyway. But if you were selling all that stuff to the wives of miners that are now out of work, guess what's going on with your business, sweetheart?
Mm-hmm. Down the tubes.
And you're going to stand there and say, oh, well, you know, it's good that those people lost their job because coal is harmful to our environment, but I have no idea where my business is going down the tube.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Let me tell you.
Pardon me, but you're going to be in line with the other 100,000 people that I'm going to walk by and pull on you what we used to call a Mo slap. You remember Mo from the Three Stooges?
Yep.
I'm going to walk by a line of 100,000 people, and I'm going to slap you like Mo slapped Curly because you just ain't smart enough to get down the street by yourself. And if you look up when it's raining, you're going to drown.
Yep. And about, oh, by the way, on that one place in Kentucky, they're talking about 90 people being laid off.
Yeah, but that's 90 wives that aren't going to buy specialty
exactly.
Christmas presents this year.
But wait a minute. Let's look at the coal energy. Murray Energy, 150 layoffs at three subsidiaries, okay? Coal, Ohio, all right? Now, and then we have 102 Utah miners laid off because of war on coal, all right? Then mm-hmm. there's another mine, doesn't really say which one, but it's they fired 54 the night of election. So we're basically looking at, let's say, 500 people just in the coal industry. And, you know,
No, wait a minute. There's more than that.
No, there is more. I mean, this is just the day after, okay? This is just the day after the election, all right? Wait a minute. Let me go through with this.
I'm talking from the coal industry alone.
Yes.
There's more than that.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. I mean, this is the day after the election, though. 500 people were laid off, and probably more that I don't even have listed on here. Okay, then listen to this, there's this Career Education. It's an education company, all right? Mm-hmm. And they're cutting 900 jobs, and they're closing 23 campuses, okay? Now, then there's Vestas, which is a wind system, which turbines. They're cutting 3,000 more jobs, of course.
That's a green energy company.
You would think. And guess what?
Oh, but that's green. That's different. That's not coal.
I know.
That's environmentally friendly. Why are they doing it?
Yeah, they're located in Massachusetts. Oh, yeah. Okay.
The People's Republic of Massachusetts.
You betcha, baby. Listen to this. This one's interesting. First Energy is cutting 400 jobs by 2016. But listen to this. First Energy is a conglomerate of electric companies located not only in Ohio, but Pennsylvania. They also,
and Jersey.
Yes, Jersey Central. Mm-hmm. And also Potomac Edison.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
down by these. Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we're talking about a whole bunch. Now, they're talking 400 jobs by 2016, but I can bet you it will rise.
But wait. We're also not necessarily talking about presidents and vice presidents and executive vice presidents and assistant vice presidents and associate vice presidents. They're talking about linemen.
Exactly.
And you know, the people who came to your rescue during Hurricane Sandy and Hurricane Irene and all these other people, the people who didn't get to your home fast enough this past September, October, mm-hmm. you know, those people.
Yep.
They're going to get to your family even slower because you don't think the president of the company's on the block here, do you?
Oh, gosh, no.
So when you want to sit there and talk about, oh, well, you know, those fat cat rich and the CEOs and the CFOs and the CMOs and the CPOs, those people's jobs aren't in question.
Nope.
It's the foreman and the dispatcher who send those people out to take care of you when your problems are too insurmountable for you yourself.
And what economic class are they a part of? The middle class.
They're part of the middle class.
Yeah.
You know, this whole anti-rich thing, unfortunately, is more oriented towards the middle class than it is to the rich.
Yep. Exactly.
Oh, we're going to soak the rich. Well, look at the guidelines on who is rich. $250,000 income. You know, 100,000 to 250,000, well, that describes anybody who sells stuff on eBay.
That's right. Or has a small business. Seriously.
I was using eBay as the absolute bottom line minimum standard by which to judge.
Yeah.
You know, the idea being that if you own your own small business, and my wife is looking at the same thing, she's pushing it off.
Yeah, yeah. It's smart to do that right now.
Because, you know, you talk about soaking the rich. Let me tell you about the rich. The real rich. The one percenters, you want to call them. The one percenters. The way the 99% doesn't live. Guess where all their investments just went?
Yeah, exactly.
On November 7th. Guess where all their money is?
Yep.
Guess where Donald Trump put his money last week?
Cayman Islands.
Guess where T. Boone Pickens put his money last week?
Not in the United States.
Guess where all these people? Guess where Bill Gates put his money last week? Guess where Ted Turner put his money last week? And I'll bet you they did it on the 5th.
I would be a bit surprised. Well, you know what? You had on the 7th and on the 8th, the stock market went down 314 points, and then the next day it went down 100 points or 150, something like that. So, Wall Street and all these investors are really happy over Obama's reelection, aren't they?
So you think the capitalists, the people who actually, pay the bills?
Yeah, and you know, provide the jobs, you know?
And provide the jobs and... Pay 76% of the taxes to the IRS.
Yep, exactly. Okay.
You know, their money's gone. Yep. Their money's gone, so who's going to pay it now?
Yep, exactly. Listen, I have some more on this, too. Listen to this. A canceled program at Wright-Patterson Air Base in Ohio.
Wright-Patterson.
Cost 115 jobs. What they did was they canceled the contract of the... Air Force computer modernization, because they couldn't afford it any longer. Advanced Micro Devices.
Well, what does the Air Force need computer modernization for? I mean,
oh God,
we're just letting them walk in the door now. We don't need the Air Force.
Well, let me just tell you something. What you just said is probably what some person who's a liberal who sits in their mother's basement, you know, tweeting all the time and doing a blog would probably say. All right? Because they have no clue. No clue. None. No clue. So...
On the evening of the 4th and into the morning of the 5th, a Soviet submarine was inside our 200-mile barrier.
But that's okay, because Obama's president. And that's the flexibility he was talking about.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's the flexibility. Oh, sure.
Hey, yeah, you want to come up on your first head?
Remember that movie, The Russians Are Coming? The Russians Are Coming.
Oh, yeah. But that was a mistake, remember? They got too close and they ran aground.
Right. But so if they run aground now...
We're probably going to welcome them.
Not only welcome them, we'll be buying them breakfast stay here in this bed and breakfast have a
nice
time.
Putin. Yeah.
What flexibility are we talking about?
Oh, we're talking about a lot of flexibility.
I think the flexibility is the fact that I'm going to say this again. You guys out there that are listening, I mean, you know, most of you that are out there that are listening, with the exception of one, I'm preaching to the choir, but for that one lonely soul out there, you may or may not understand this, but this election was not an election. This election was an investiture. If you think for a second that we're going to fight the constitutional battle on whether or not we should go for a third term, fourth term, you know, FDR-esque scenario.
Which they probably have no clue what you're talking about. I'll be honest with you.
Well, whether they do or they don't, this was an investiture. We just green-lighted the President of the United States to 4 years from now in the Lincoln Memorial to be crowned emperor. because he's not leaving 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue under his own power ever again. No, I'm not saying that anyone should see to it aforehand to prevent him from leaving under his own power. But he's not going to allow it.
He's going to find some way to stay. He is.
He's going to be crowned King of the United States and Emperor of North America, if not the Western world.
You have, and anybody who says, oh, they're not, they're, what's wrong with these people? What happened in the 24 hours after he was, quote-unquote, reelected? One, the U.S. and Hillary Clinton went to the U.N. and backed the small arms treaty ban. Small arm.
Instantly. It wasn't, instantly. It was like right. 9 hours later.
It was, that's true. It was about six to 9 hours later. Second thing that they did, out west, they outlawed any drilling on federal lands.
Bang.
That's within first 24 hours.
That's two bangs. You only get six. Go ahead.
So if you people think that this man is not going to try and keep power and stay there and consolidate his power, then you have nothing coming. Then do us a favor. Go back in your basement. Never vote again.
Let me touch on the Petraeus issue for a moment.
That stinks to high heaven.
Let me tell you something about Petraeus.
What?
Before he got his first star.
Did you know?
I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to tell you that before he got his first star, he was one hell of a field officer. He was one hell of a field grade officer, and anybody that served in any command underneath his guidance will tell you he was one hell of a field officer. He got his first star, and as we've said before, once you get a star, whether you're Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, etc., you're no longer a military man, you're a politician. I don't believe he did a doggone thing with that woman.
It was set up.
No, I don't believe it. Yeah, it was a setup, but I don't believe. But I believe he did it.
Wait a minute, I'm getting confused.
This inside work. I know how to.
No.
I've heard how the company works.
Oh, yes, of course. Now, why was the FBI investigating him? Why?
Because somebody in a company told them to, and they put information there for them to find. And only to cement and consolidate their issues.
Okay.
David Petraeus set himself up for a fall.
Yeah, he did. He trusted. He trusted. Nope.
No, you're missing my point.
Go ahead. Then you and I, then explain to me.
He didn't do a doggone thing with that woman. He got a hold of his wife and said, look, I got to make an exit. Here's how it's going to play. And she said, okay, Dave, no problem.
But what did they have on him?
They didn't have a damn thing on him. He fabricated what they had on him, so he's out of there.
Okay, but he was supposed to testify at the hearings about Benghazi next week.
He walked away ignominiously.
Yeah, but you know what? You can't walk away from your country, and that's what he just did. He should have testified.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't, because now, while he's not constrained by the issues pertinent to his previous office.
True, but he can testify. He just has to be subpoenaed.
He'll be subpoenaed, but he will be subpoenaed now as a civilian.
True, which means that he is, that's true, yes.
You see where I'm going with this?
Yes. I had a
NSA lady, you see where I'm going with this?
Yes.
You know how the company works. Yes. I know how the company works.
Yes.
Why do you think the only organization in the United States of America I don't fear is the CIA?
Yeah.
I'm thinking that Petraeus has at his life and seen the eagles on his shoulders instead of the stars.
Let's hope. Let's hope.
And I think that he, very much like Storm and Norman, is able to look back and say, I remember what it's like to be a United States Army field officer.
But you know what? Norman Schwarzkopf wasn't under attack by the Bush administration.
No, he wasn't.
I mean, he didn't.
No, he wasn't.
He didn't have.
He wasn't, yeah, he wasn't under attack.
You know,
but
this is different.
He opened himself up to be able to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Colin Powell.
Oh, God, we won't even. Oh, please.
No, Colin Powell. Colin Powell never saw that door.
Yeah.
He never saw that door. He never had that dream. He never had that mirror. He never was able to get away from, you know, he was never able to see his past.
No.
He was so busy glorifying himself. And I'm sorry, he was glorifying himself by virtue of using the race card.
Yeah. No, I agree with you on that. Yeah. He's, no. Mm-mm.
Why do you think we never heard a doggone thing out of Condoleezza?
Well.
Oh, yeah, the occasional here and the occasional there, but was she stumping?
No.
Mm-mm.
No.
Why do you think that is? I think because she, like the two of us, and like Dave Petraeus, lament what the Republican Party has become.
That's true.
I mean, you take somebody like Petraeus and Schwarzkopf, and they understand what it means to take a knife to a gunfight.
Mm-hmm.
And what's it going to take? It's going to take the stamina, the backbone, the cojones, pardon my Spanish.
Oh, it's good.
Of the powers that be in the conservative movement to turn around and say, that's right, you got it right. Yeah, the Tea Party brings to us certain things at the table that we agree with.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to separate ourselves from them. We're not going to remove ourselves from them just because there's such a thing as an Occupy Wall Street movement to counteract them. And we're going to walk around and we're going to say, doggone right. We're not paying for your birth control. Doggone right. We're not paying for your abortions. Goddamn right. We're not going to pay for this and that and the other thing. And we're not only going to be, because we walked away from the fiscal conservative thing in this election. We didn't even acknowledge the fiscal conservative thing in this election.
Yeah, but you know what? This was... No, there's
women and young people. Women and young people are social issue voters,
and they shouldn't be. I'm not.
They should.
I'm not.
They should. No, you're not.
I'm a woman. I'm not.
But I'm talking about the vast majority. Are social issue voters? Now, there's nothing wrong with that, provided the truth of the social issue is out there for them to see.
Yeah, but the problem is that the Republicans don't fight back. They still think that it's the 1950s and that politics is a gentleman's game, and no matter what, you have to be kind and you have to have some sort of, you know, politeness and everything and respect. And that's not the way it is anymore.
The last time I saw a Republican campaign ad that got right down to it, right down there on the ground, right down there with the nitty gritty, was the Daisy ad.
Yeah, Barry Goldwater.
Hmm.
Mm. Yeah, I know.
That was the last one.
Actually, no, I have to take issue with you on that one. Ronald Reagan.
Well, Ronald Reagan had it going on, but Ronald Reagan. You know, look, Ronald Reagan ran unopposed.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
Not the first time he didn't.
Against Jimmy Carter? I'm sorry. Yes, he did.
Oh, you're talking about like other what do you call it? Other parties and stuff like that. Is that what you're talking about? Or because you're getting confused here.
Look at the number. He ran against Jimmy Carter. He was unopposed. Carter could not combat him.
Oh, no, of course not.
He did not need intense ads.
But he did have one. He did have
intense. Oh, he did. He had a couple of them.
Yes, but the thing, I mean, you know, the thing is that, one, the Republican Party has lost its balls, plain English, it has. You have people out there now, Peggy Noonan, saying we didn't, and a bunch of other people, saying we did not appeal to the Hispanics correctly.
Why not? How do you figure we didn't?
No, that's what they said.
I'm saying, how do you figure we didn't? And I know how we didn't.
You know the whole thing about Santa Claus, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's what the Democrat Party is to every illegal that comes in here, or every person that doesn't want to work, whether they're legal or illegal. They want to give them everything that they can, which will keep them on the voter rolls and voting for the Democrats. The Republicans, on the other hand, are, you know, personal responsibility and, you know, exceptionalism, da 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 da. Yeah, I can go through everything. However, in all of this, the Republicans have not fought back at all of the lies that the Democrats put out there in every single campaign, whether it was the presidential, whether it was my local ones here for the representatives, okay, for the congressmen, and also for governor. They do not fight back. They do not know how to fight back because they do not know how to combat the communist mindset. They do not know how to combat the communist word speak. They will not do it, and they're idiots.
Well, you know what they used to? Hence the Daisy ad.
Exactly, but now it's like, oh, we have to be nice because we want everybody to love us. That's not the way life is now. And if you don't combat those, you're going to keep losing. And then you're going to just sit back and go, what did we do wrong?
You can't expect everyone to love us when everyone already loves the Democrats because the Democrats are promising you a rosy path towards a wonderful cradle of grave life.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and
you can't build on utopia. Democrat Party is promising us utopia.
Right. So what you have to do.
So anybody that's out there who doesn't have their sleeves rolled up, what doesn't have their tie loose, what doesn't have their you know, jacket on, but, you know, what doesn't have something to do today is automatically a Democrat.
Right. But you see, the thing is, the Republicans aren't doing is they're not unmasking the Democrats. They're letting the Democrats get away with the lies.
Yep.
And they're not putting the truth out there. They're not hammering home the truth. And what's happening is that the Democrats are winning. Because, as I believe it was Joseph Goebbels, who said, if you repeat a lie often enough, it becomes the truth.
Yep. Well, no. Was that Goebbels?
No, it was Goebbels. I looked it up. I thought it was. I don't know why the hell I thought it was Lenin all the time, but it wasn't.
No, I thought it was Lenin.
I think it was Goebbels. But anyway, the thing is that the Republicans are just going, oh, gee, we should be just sit and it'll go away. No, it doesn't go away. Not when these Democrats are putting out these damn ads every 3 minutes. They're buying airtime and they put these ads out every 3 minutes.
Yep.
So, guys,
and that's not to decomplicify.
Yeah.
The media.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are such things as equal time.
Right.
You know, and I'm not talking fairness doctrine equal time. I'm talking just equal time on paid ads.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm talking equal time in if you're going, and whether it's a $100 ad or $1 million ad, you've got to provide that same 30 seconds to the opposite side.
Right.
And, you know, you put up $1 million ad and I put up $1,000 ad and it's 30 seconds each. It doesn't matter. You've still got to provide me with that 30 seconds.
That's right.
And we did, you know, and they said, I mean, I'm talking right there on Tuesday morning, I was getting emails begging me you know, check here, $25, $50.
Yeah, that's true.
So you know, $100. No, that's Tuesday morning. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, by Tuesday morning, it's too late.
Exactly.
You know, and I mean, whether I was getting them from the National Rifle Association, whether I was getting them from the Republican National Committee, whether I was getting them from MittRomney.com.org.net.whatever, Tuesday morning, Monday morning, okay, we got a shot. Here's $20, here's $25, here's $50.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday morning?
Yeah.
What are you going to spend it on?
I don't know.
What are you going to do other than to ameliorate the debt you've accrued? You know, Tuesday morning, what are you going to spend it on? There's nothing, and I'm not saying that the Democrats didn't face the same thing. But then again, what was it he borrowed from Bank of America? $50 million?
If it was 15.
$15, $20, $50.
It doesn't matter. Once you start getting in the millions, you know.
You know, once you get into numbers that I'm never going to see in a pile,
mm-hmm.
you know, again, ever in my life, it doesn't matter. You know, so they can take that and as I said, ameliorate the debt.
Right.
But, you know, Romney didn't have that debt.
No, he didn't.
What was he begging for more money for?
I know. Yeah, I know that. He had a surplus, yeah.
And when it comes right down to that, what are you going to buy?
Yeah, it's too late to buy airtime. It really is.
And here's my gig. I volunteered to be an election, to be a poll monitor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mind you, I'm in reasonably rural. I'm not in completely rural, and I'm not in, like, suburban or exurban, mm-hmm. you know, Maine. I'm in rural Maine.
Right.
The odds are pretty good that I wasn't going to see, you know, United Nations poll inspectors, and the odds are pretty good that I wasn't going to see the Black Panther Party standing outside And I'm not being facetious here. I'm not being funny here. I'm not being racist here. But the odds are pretty good in my town that if I saw a Black Panther Party member standing outside the polls, he was probably the only black man in town.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, you know, voter intimidation wasn't the issue. But I volunteered to be a poll monitor for the Republican Party, and I got to the polls because I hadn't heard back from the Republican Party on when to be at the polls with my little printed out from my computer letter saying that I was authorized by the party to be a poll monitor. I hadn't heard from them. And at 3:35 in the afternoon when I got to the poll, there were no poll monitors.
Oh, my God.
None. And, you know, it only took me a few minutes to vote. And because at that hour of the day, I'm before the dinner rush and I'm after the lunch rush.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the gymnasium in the town building there, where a lot of the local cottage industry businesses have their little table set up with, here's what we do and we're local and wouldn't it be nice to buy from us and stuff. Yeah, that's great. But I spent an hour because I know some of the people in there, the florist and the historical society and stuff, are people I know and know fairly well. So we spent an hour, you know, talking and catching up. And this, and we went back past the door of the polling place, and there's still no poll monitors in there. And the dinner crowd was starting to file in. So I said to the lady, the election warden, I said, look, I said, I went through the training as a poll monitor. I said, can I sit here? And she says, do you have the letter? I said, well, I have this one I printed out. And she said, well, it's not countersigned. And I said, okay.
God.
So I couldn't even sit there through the dinner hour as a poll monitor. Again, not that I expect my precinct to be the seat of voter fraud or voter intimidation in the United States. But where was the Republican Party?
No, they. I don't know what it is about them. They're gone. They're dead. I'm sorry.
in our day and age of technology, and you know I'm on top of a certain amount of that, the fact that they hosted the pole monitor training in a very badly organized freeware teleconferencing site, and as I said, if nothing else, I mean, there's nothing wrong with the software. Badly organized and badly handled training sessions, two of them. It makes you wonder. You know for a fact that when the Democrats ran it, they ran it in gymnasiums in every high school, in every middle school, in every town, burg, village. But no, we relegate ourselves to some, because, you know, we're supposed to be, you know, superior in certain ways. So we try and depend on the technology to bring us in. You want to talk about a cluster of sexual activity. The training sessions for pole monitors alone was horrendous.
Really?
And then to not be able to be assigned to a polling place unless you already knew someone who knew someone who knew someone who could pass the information down to you by mouth and by hand. How many polls went unmonitored with 143 volunteers across the state?
Yeah.
Because nobody bothered to sit and compile who's available, in which precinct, when, for how many hours. Oh, we did our bit. We held our badly organized teleconference. And again, not that I believe our neighborhood to be the seat of voter intimidation or fraud, but Portland, Augusta, Lewiston, Auburn, Bangor, Brunswick, these cities, some of them are college towns or Bowdoin colleges up in the one, University of Southern Maine, and we still have until January, same day registration. So how many people's votes won't get uncounted until it's too late because they found out that, well, they registered in five different precincts on the same day?
Yeah, I know.
The Republican Party has got to, and you know what? I'm sorry, I could fix it, but they won't ask me.
Yeah, the Republicans, that's why I'm changing. Because they don't want people that understand what's going on. The Republican Party in New Hampshire doesn't want me because I understand what's going on. I've tried to explain to people what is going on with the Democrat Party and you know, how they will use any method that they can. And this is all based on communist ideology.
I have explained to them until I'm blue in the face that you can't ride a bicycle when the Democrats have a motorcycle.
Well, the thing is that the Republicans just don't. They refuse. They don't.
They refuse to catch up. They refuse. They want to be the gentlemen. They want to be the ladies. They want to. While we're not that kind of people, we are above that. Yeah, that's why you lost.
Yeah, exactly. That is why you lost, because you don't know how. You don't have to act like them. You just have to learn how to counteract it. That's
counteract
what the whole thing is. You know,
even if you're playing defense, at least you're defending.
Yeah, exactly. You have to learn to pull the clothes off of the emperor, and they're not doing that. They're not doing it at all.
And they refuse to.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. They refuse to.
They refuse to.
They think that if they take the high road on everything, that, oh, people will say, oh, how nice they are. Politics is not about being nice. It's about getting your point across and winning. And you have to defeat the other guy. And if you don't want, and the thing is, another thing that they don't do, they did not use Obama's words against him. That is the best thing you could do.
But you know what? If they did that, they wouldn't have needed anything else.
Exactly. But they refuse to do so. They refuse. And that's why.
And it's not just us. You know what, Amory? It's not just us. It's every major conservative outlet had this stuff right there, black and white, sound bite, you know, video bite. Everybody had it available. All they had to do was copy and paste.
Yeah.
But you know, whether it was us, whether it was Glenn Beck, whether it was Sean Hannity, whether it was, you know, whether it was Fox News, whether it was Western journalism, no matter American Thinker, no matter where you got it, all you had to do was send a little letter asking for the right to rebroadcast and rebroadcast it.
Well, you know,
I mean, if nothing else, that one video of Obama's speech from 2008 and from 2012, where he's saying the exact same thing, right there, would have been worth 100,000 votes.
You're not kidding.
That one video would have been 100,000 votes.
But you see, you and I, and many people, especially that I follow on Twitter, that follow me also,
I have a bunch of the same ones.
Yeah, and the thing is that they basically have said the same thing. But according to the Republican Party and those people there, well, they're the experts, and we're not. We don't understand. No, you don't understand. Game has changed, okay?
Yep.
You're losing it.
The game changed in 1955.
Yeah. Now, a game
changed. And we're still playing. We're still fighting like it's 1955.
Yeah. See, Ronald Reagan didn't. Ronald Reagan knew what the threat was. He knew how to combat it. He knew. That's why he won.
And I'm sorry, but, you know, we talk about the fact that the current White House has more communists in it since FDR.
Yeah, more.
Mm-hmm. And not for anything, but neither of the Bushes did anything to ameliorate that.
No, they didn't. They didn't. And I don't know if Romney would have done that either.
We took our focus. We took our eyes off the prize.
Yeah.
And we started to concentrate on threats other than communism. Something that this administration has not only failed to do, but flat dug their heels in and refused to do.
Well, no, obviously they won't, because they are communists.
Well, not just the communists, but any other form of threat to the United States of America.
Yeah, like the Muslims. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so you turn around and you say, okay, so the White House is full of commies, and the president's a Muslim, and, you know, all right, yeah, I know, I'm going to get emails, I know. Well, he's not a Muslim. You know, oh, that thing with his wedding ring, you know, no, I've had people tell me in no uncertain terms that are fluent in Arabic tell me that it says... There is one God, Allah.
Yeah.
And, you know, oh, it's not just a thing saying, oh, be truthful unto your wife. Oh, there is one God, Allah, is what it says. And, you know, the president is a Muslim. He doesn't attend the breakfast for the National Day of Prayer, but he goes down during the day and kneels on the rug. Now, I don't know how many other things you need to prove it. Mm-hmm. But I think those two right there kind of get it.
Yeah.
And how much do you need to prove he's a commie? I don't know. I'll be more flexible after my next election.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so now we're dealing with not only an Islamo-fascist,
mm-hmm.
but a communist at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, I'm not going to decide whether he's a socialist. No, he's a commie.
No, he's a commie.
Period.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, Putin's already dictating our foreign policy and who we put in. The Russians.
Exactly.
The Russians have requested that since Hillary is leaving as Secretary of State, they don't want Susan Rice, who is the UN ambassador, because they say that she's too forceful. They want John Kerry.
She's too forceful?
Yes. They say
this woman who cowered behind an excuse?
I know. They say she's too... They want John Kerry, who says that they can get along with better. Isn't that amazing? Oh, yeah. I'm going to... Putin? Any other administration would have told Putin to go pound sand. Even GW's administration would have told Putin to go pound sand. As a matter of fact, I think they did.
I believe that GW's administration did.
Yeah.
Tell Putin, sorry, we're picking what we want, we're doing what we want, and whereas, you got to adapt. You know,
this one, and I'm going to tell you right now, the more the time goes on, and it's only been 4 days since the election, I think there was such massive voter fraud, and I do. And you know the thing that really kind of pointed in that direction was when, who was it? Was it Howard Dean that came out the day before the election and said, if there's any voter fraud, it's going to be the Republicans. And to me, that
was... I heard of one instance.
No. This was before. Now, wait a minute. Let me explain this for a second. What they do, this is a Marxist tactic in which they try to deflect attention from themselves to their enemy. And that's why he said that.
Sure. Everybody go look for this. And while you're looking for that, we're busy back here doing what we do.
Exactly.
And I heard in the prelude to the election, I heard of one, and I mean precisely one, instance of someone stealing Obama signs from lawns, and I don't remember where it was, but it was somebody out there stealing, some wacko. I mean, come on, face it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to run around stealing, election signs. Like the occasional, you know what? If I take up 101 election signs off of people's lawns, I just save one vote.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sorry, it doesn't work out that way. But when you get to the 2-3 days before the election, and if I'm driving down the street and I see that one last election sign, I'm going to go, you know what? Maybe I really should vote for him.
I know. I've got the.
But how many countless thousands of election sign thefts? How many countless thousands of defacements? How many countless thousands of people stealing the letters off of signs in front of businesses? How many countless thousands? But no, the mainstream media have talked about how this one Republican went around stealing. You didn't hear about the other 100,000 incidents from the left. You only heard about the one weirdo on the right that was out there stealing election signs in his neighborhood.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. See, the thing is that Howard Dean, it was about Ohio. We said the only way Obama loses Ohio is through voter fraud. And it's like, really? Well, it looks like voter fraud was, conducted by the Democrats, not the Republicans.
Well, yeah, that, first of all. Second of all, last count, Romney had Ohio by 49-46.
Yeah, see, this is just...
He had it. Going in, he had that morning, he had it going in 49-46, and then all of a sudden, because somebody stole that last election sign...
Everybody switched, right? Yeah. No, but underscores the Obama winning 108% of registered voters in Wood County, Ohio. It's like, hello?
And I'm sorry, look, if they had said... In the fact that Hurricane Sandy came through, if they turned around and said, well, these counties in New Jersey and these counties in New York and these counties in Maryland and Delaware, even these counties in Connecticut, we're going to postpone your election by several days until, the election commission can get real machines powered by real electricity into your, precincts, and we're going to delay the results of the election until the 10th of November or something like that because, we need to make sure this is clean up front. In the meantime, no, they were casting paper ballots in the back of National Guard trucks.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Christie was also allowing them to vote by email.
Email. Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, that's secure.
Yeah.
Oh, that's real secure. As a geek, I can tell you, the easiest thing I could possibly do, if I were in a position to do such things, the easiest thing I could possibly do is mess with an email.
Yep.
That's the easiest way out.
Exactly.
You can hammer a site, you can hammer a government site, you can do whatever you want, but the easiest way to do it is like, oh, look, email. That's like saying, oh, gee, that's shooting fish in a barrel.
Yeah. Hey. Good old Chris Christie. Huh? Hello?
You notice my crickets.
Yeah, I know. What a moron. Sorry.
For all the stuff, and here's the problem, because of the fact that he's got popular support, and he's got it based on the fact that he represents New Jersey in a way that Brendan Byrne sure as hell couldn't.
Oh, gosh, no.
You know, that Tom Kane sure as hell wouldn't.
No.
You know, Christy Whitman, never mind.
No.
He's got, you know, he's the antithesis of all of those people, and even more so John Corzine.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And unfortunately, Corzine being from our part of New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
Enjoys support in a way that you can't control. But Christie represents whatever. He's the Jersey Shore television show.
Yeah.
Governor.
Yeah.
You know, he's all of the bluster and all of the, hey, forgot about it, you know, aspect of New Jersey representing New Jersey.
Yeah.
And it's funny because it's really voting for a straw man. It's really voting for an empty suit. It's really voting for a caricature. It's really voting for, you know, a facade.
Yeah. He's not a conservative. I hope people realize that. Not by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, fiscally, he could be worse.
Fiscally, he's good. And actually, my brother, who is a member of a... who works for a county, I will not mention which, and because he works for a county, by virtue of the fact he does, he has to be a member of SEIU.
Ah, Service Employees International Union!
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you right now, he said that actually Christie has done some good work in getting rid of the dead wood.
Hmm.
See, my brother is a man that likes to work for his money. You know, when he gets paid, he likes to know that he's worked
wacko?
For it. Oh, yeah, he's wacko. He is. Because I'll be honest with you, two times he walked off the job because he was working and the other guys were just sitting around doing nothing and he got fed up. And his manager said, please, please don't quit. Don't quit. But after Christie got in, Christie actually started cleaning things up. You know, so, you know, in the state house and everything. And you know how it... And he, push the unions around a bit.
Well, that's one of the things I like about living in Maine, because when Paul LePage took over, he did basically the same thing, but he meant it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but the thing is that, you know, I mean, I'm really disappointed at how he acted toward Romney. He was supposed to be in his corner, and
mm-hmm.
then he invites Obama over and gives this big hug and everything, and it's like, mm-hmm. oh, gee, that kind of, you know... that kind of negates everything that you said about.
Well, you know, he promised the people of New Jersey to be a one-term governor.
Now, I didn't know that, really.
Yeah, he promised the people in New Jersey he's going to get there, he's going to do what he's got to do, and he's going back to his business.
I don't think so, homie.
I don't think so.
No.
I think he got a taste of it. And he's not going anywhere if he can avoid.
But I'll tell you, if he thinks he's going to run for president and get a lot of support, he can just forget about it.
No, he can forget about
it. Forget about it.
You know, he can forget about a lot of things. You know, he's going to run against Cory Booker.
Yeah, it looks like Cory Booker's going to run against him. Yep.
And Cory Booker ain't got a shot. You know, yep. I mean, he'll pick up the African-American vote, you know, to some extent. But after everything that Christie has done fiscally in the state of New Jersey... I don't think Cory Booker's going to stand a chance.
Yeah, don't forget.
Landslide city. And that's considering the fact that Chris Christie wasn't supposed to run for a second term.
Yeah, true. And plus the fact that Newark is a mess and a half still, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's you know, still under federal.
Yeah.
You know, state and federal, you know, and he said, oh, we're going to get out from under that. We're going to get out from under. You're not out from under it yet there, Cory.
No. Nope.
You know. And the odds are pretty good. You won't be by the time the elections come around in 2 years.
Mm.
You know, so, Booker doesn't have a chance in hell, so Christie's pretty much a shoo-in. And the issue isn't so much how Christie's going to handle that. The issue is what's he going to do when, after he promised the people of New Jersey he wouldn't run for a second term and he gets his second term.
I know.
And he promises the people of New Jersey, because I'm sure his aspirations are higher, that he will not leave the governorship to do something else, and then he decides to go and do something else, and he's counting on the support of the people, and the people are going to say, wait, You told us you weren't going for a second term. We voted for you because we didn't want Cory Booker, but now you want to run for, you know, president, senator, mm-hmm. you know, get tapped mm-hmm. on the shoulder for VP. You know, I'm sorry. How could he get tapped on the shoulder for VP? From who? The Democrats?
That's basically it. You know, there has been a lot of speculation. I bet that he changes parties. I wouldn't be a bit surprised. I would not be a bit surprised.
No, I wouldn't be terribly surprised if he changed party because...
Let's face it, he is a Democrat.
He's a Democrat. But then again, and here's my problem, and I'm gonna reiterate, because how would we have done had a real Republican been in this election?
You mean presidential?
Yeah.
I think a lot better.
I mean, how often did I type the word Romney without typing D-mass after
it? I know. Yeah, I really think that because there basically was no distinction. I mean, in that last debate...
That's the party's fault.
Yes, in that last debate, he's sitting there agreeing with Obama. Oh, I agree with you on this. I agree with you on that.
No, go back to the primary debates.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
Go back to the primary debates. He didn't belong as the the Republican nominee.
No.
No, I'm Gingrich may have been able to wipe the streets with Barack Obama. And the whole thing with Ron Paul switching and leaving Gary Johnson in the Libertarian hole, that was a ploy, but it didn't work.
No, it didn't.
You know, whether it was Haley Barbour, whether it was Newt Gingrich, whether it was, you know, any of the above, they didn't put a Republican in the Republican ticket.
No, they didn't, because they didn't want one. I mean, come on, remember what Herman Cain went through, right? He was being attacked like that, and there was no truth to that rumor that he had an affair. And yet Rance Priebus, the head of the Republican Party, said that they would not interfere because it was the primary and they wanted things to play out. Excuse me?
Excuse me? You're the party chairman.
He's a Republican. You have to defend him. But no.
They swooped down on Herman Cain so much that that buzzards were watching them going, damn, we got to learn how to do that.
Yeah, and the thing is that the Rance Priebus and those people didn't do a damn thing because they didn't want Herman Cain. They wanted their golden boy.
They wanted their golden boy. And unfortunately, had they run Herman Cain, it might be a different ballgame.
I really think he would have won, too, because of his business experience and his, you know, fact that he grew up in America.
Yep. And I would have liked to have seen Alan West, and I think having picked up, even if they had gone with somebody as, pardon me, silly, as Haley Barbour.
Yeah. But the thing is, when the thing came out about Newt Gingrich, right, that rumor about his wife and stupid thing.
Yeah.
Again, what happened? Nope. GOP stood by and said, oh, well, we got to let this play out. We can't get involved in primary
things. And that's the problem. They didn't want to give it to Gingrich, and they didn't want to give it to
Herman Cain.
No, they wanted to give it to Romney.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying.
And Ryan was a perfect pick as a VP, but again, with Romney. Had it been anybody else in the first chair, he wasn't the right choice.
You don't know that. It's possible that he would have been good with Gingrich or with Herman.
Well, he would have been okay with Gingrich, but he wouldn't have been best with Gingrich.
I don't know.
Had it been Gingrich at his age and his whiteness level, Bobby Jindal would have been a better pick.
Oh, Bobby Jindal would have been good too.
But
we have good people here, and they're getting pushed away.
We have good people.
Yes, we do. We have good people. And see, the thing is, don't forget, when GW ran the second time, McCain was his biggest opponent. Okay, McCain lost. So the GOP figured they owed McCain the next time around. All right? So what happened? McCain ran...
No.
What?
No. Owing anybody anything is baloney.
No, they owed them. And the same thing with Romney. Same thing with Romney. Don't forget, Romney lost to McCain in the primaries. So they figured they owed him. That's what this is all about. That's what Dole was about.
It's not about Ozzy's. No. It's not about Ozzy's. That's what, you know, Al Gore stamped his feet and stormed off the stage because he thought he was owed. The Democrats don't play by what we owe anybody. They play by who the best gig is.
No, Democrats do. Republicans don't. They play by who's owed because of their service to the Republican Party. That's what happened. And the same thing with McCain.
If you're going to count it as service to the Republican Party, you sure as hell wasn't going to get it from either McCain or Romney. They're both rhinos, at least, and Democrats at worst.
That's what the establishment in the GOP is.
And they will continue to lose.
Exactly. Bingo, I'm glad we agree on something.
They will continue to lose. Unless and until they decide they're going to keep their eyes on the prize, and they're going to ignore, they were such a big help to us last election cycle. You know, get rid of all that stuff and say, look, we're the Republicans. We're going to fix America. We're going to lower your taxes. We're going to make it easier for you to get a job because we're going to make it easier for businessmen to do business. We're going to see to it that you can afford health care by virtue of the fact that you've got a job. We're going to make sure that you don't have your daughters at 14 years old getting morning after pills without your consent. We're going to see to the social issues, we're going to see to the financial issues, and we're going to build a damn fence across the border, and we're going to throw a few bombs at Al-Qaeda and Hamas, and then we're going to come home and wait for it to fall.
Right. But that's
and if they throw something at Israel, we're going to nuke them.
Yeah. Okay, so we've established all the things that went wrong with the election and the faults of the Republican Party and the fact that they're not going to do anything about any of these voter fraud. So let's look ahead real quick, okay?
Because let's look ahead at what?
The next 4 years.
The next 4 years. The next 4 years are going to suck.
Oh, period. Yeah, big time.
Our taxes just went up anywhere from $2,000 to $3,800 per family.
Mm-hmm.
Bang, they just went up.
Yep.
Not by virtue of anything they're going to do, but by virtue of the stuff they've done already that if they weren't reelected wouldn't happen.
That's right. Obamacare, for one.
For one. And as I said the other day, and I'm not sure whether or not it's been rehearsed or not, you know, the United Nations is now almost the de facto ruler of the United States of America.
Oh, yeah, wait a minute. I got another story about that. Do you know that the NEA is working with the United Nations, UNESCO, to put together an education packet for American schools?
Oh, isn't that nice?
Isn't that sweet?
I didn't know we were a third world nation that needed the intervention of UNESCO, but okay.
Yeah, obviously, huh?
Yeah, I thought they were busy in places that I can't pronounce.
No, see, they're in those places that you can't pronounce, helping out the rulers to help keep down the people.
Oh, yeah, because suppression is bad.
Yeah,
we got to keep the peace, and if that means suppressing insurrectionists,
that's right. That's the thing. It's peaceful.
That's right.
Well, look, folks, things are going to get really, really rough over the next. Now, a lot of people are starting to say, okay, let's look toward the Senate races in 2014. And yes, in some ways we should. Now, in New Hampshire, one of our senators, Democrat, Jean Shaheen, is coming up for re-election. I'll be honest, I honestly think the Republican Party is probably going to
lose.
Yeah, lose, because they're going to get one of their, you know, the stalwarts that have been there forever and ever, amen, to run. Because they owe them. Oh,
lost.
And they're just so nice. Yes. Like, oh, I can tell you, two people have already lost. The guy who ran for governor, Ovid LaMontagne, has been running for governor for the past 10 to 15 years, okay? Ever since
he lose again.
He lost again, okay? Every time he runs, he loses. Whether it's primaries, whether it's head election. The man can't be elected frickin' dog catcher. Give it up, Ovid, all right? Now, we have the guy who just lost in my congressional district, Charlie Bass, okay? He thinks he's noblesse oblige, and he thinks that just going down among the people and just saying hello once or twice is good enough. Now, I am telling you this again. Annie Custer, who won deserved to win, because that woman went out and out and out. And she was, wherever you turned, there she was in all the towns. Okay? And for, you know, and if he thinks that just the normal New Hampshire, the people who have lived here all their lives, they're going to bring him into office, he's wrong. It's changed. People from other states have moved here over the past 20 years, and they have a different mindset. And yet they still want to see these people, because that's what they were told when they moved to New Hampshire, that the politicians get, you know. But he just goes, and he just, he's very, very patronizing and condescending. He is. And, you know, on one hand, I'm glad he lost. I'm not glad that Annie Custer won, but I'm glad he lost.
Yeah.
So I can bet you that he will probably be tapped to run against Jeanne Shaheen or Ovid LaMontagne, the two big losers, because they owe them. And I'm sick of it. That's not the reason why I'm so everybody in your own states, look at what senator is up for re-election. Obviously, you're going to have in 2 years your house, your representative coming up for election too. But also look at senators, because we have to start taking the Senate back. Also, you know, we really lost.
Well, I'm unfortunate in Maine, you know, in that regard. You know,
how many you have two senators? I mean, that's law. So when's your other one coming up?
Well, the other one's coming up in the midterm, but
right.
Look, we're going from rhinos to Democrats and Democrats to rhinos. We're not bringing people.
Same thing in New Hampshire. Same thing in New Hampshire.
Yeah, two D.C. that are actual true, you know, Republicans, conservatives, whichever way you want to line it up. And as I said, I say Kaddish on the Republican Party.
Yeah, I would.
You know, and as far as people saying, well,
cover the mirrors, folks.
We've got to rebuild it. We've got to bring it up. We've got to this and the other thing. We've got to. This is the part that gets me re-energize it. And my opinion of re-energizing the GOP is sort of kind of like putting lightning into the bolts on its neck.
Yeah, maybe. But I,
you know,
what do you think about a third party?
Because it's the cadavers of all kinds of things sewn together with disparate thread types, and here it's got bolts in its neck, and we're going to try and run electricity through it to re-energize it. No, bury it.
Yeah,
bury it.
I agree.
No, you don't have to call it the Tea Party. No, you don't got to have to call it. You don't have to call it anything. Let's call it, instead of the GOP, let's call it the GNP. Let's call it the Grand New Party.
Mm-hmm.
And say, this is, you know, the GCP, the Grand Conservative Party.
Well, I like that.
And say, this is what we stand for. And when it comes right down to what's your platform, you know, don't ask about this, that, and the other little piddly thing. Hold up the Constitution of the United States of America and say, there's our platform.
Exactly. I agree. So we got sidetracked.
Well, how do you feel about this, and how do you feel about that? Oh, we need a couple more planks. Look, here's the Bill of Rights.
That's an excellent idea. But over the next 4 years, folks, the next few weeks, Lou is going to be putting in a little bit, like 5 minutes or 10 minutes during our podcast, right?
You need to know what is out there and how to defend yourself from it.
Mm-hmm. And how to prepare.
How to prepare. And you know what? You can go on your cable TV while it's still available and it's not controlled by the government and see different TV shows. But they're going to go away, and they're going to go away soon. You know, your outdoor channels aren't going to carry this stuff. You're not going to find the NRA channel anymore. They're going to disappear. And it's all going to be lumped under the Fairness Doctrine. In the meantime, they can't control us because we're internet. And unless and until the United Nations gets control of the internet and shuts us off, I'm going to be there telling you where it is, what it is, and how to handle it. Unless you don't care to.
Mm-hmm.
In which case, it's your problem, not mine.
Okay, I think that perhaps we should start wrapping this up. What do you say, Lo?
Oh, we're at 2 hours and 11, so why not?
Oh, why not? What the heck?
You do your part and I'll do mine.
Oh, folks, we took a beating. We did. Americans took a beating. I'm not even saying the GOP took a beating. It was Americans, people who actually had hope for this election, that we would be able to stem the tide of the communists and socialists that are running rampant through our government. As a lot of people say, all hope is not lost. But we're really going to have to work harder this time. Okay? So everybody's going to have to get together. Everybody's going to have to think. Everybody's going to have to prepare. But remember, we all love America. And that's why we're here.
And let's not forget that tomorrow is Veterans Day. Or Monday, rather.
That's right. Monday is Veterans Day.
Today is the Marine Corps birthday.
Yes, it is. 237.
7 years. Yes. That's since Tun Tavern.
Yep. Tun Tavern. Yes.
And to my bro Al and my bro Ken, Jarheaded, and my bro Mikey, you know, all you Jarheads and Gyrenes out there.
Oh, wait a minute. And my friend John, who was a Jarhead.
Yep. Former and, you know, hoorah, you know.
Hoorah.
Good for you. You know, no complaints from this old, you know, tired Ranger. You know, I love you, man. You know, and all the brothers who are part of Uncle Sam's misguided children, the USMC.
Yeah.
And Veterans Day, let me extend my sincere, deepest gratitude and welcome home to all the veterans out there. And I'm sure that could be echoed by everyone in the studio today.
Yes.
And, you know, look, all is not lost, but it's a damn sight further away today than it was before. And I hope that you'll listen in and take it for what it's worth, because we're not going to shut up. We're from New Jersey. We don't shut up.
No, never.
You know, oh, I hear the peanut gallery laughing in the back.
Yeah, he doesn't understand. He's a white breeder from Pennsylvania. What do you want?
You're from Jersey? What exit?
Stop.
Don't go there.
I will get him tonight, believe me, while he sleeps, yes.
Good.
I'll give him a good kick in the kidneys.
What exit? Saying you're from New Jersey, what exit? You know, that's an epithet.
Yes, it is.
That's fight words right there.
He doesn't understand why I get upset at that, you know? And it's like, hello?
People who are not from New Jersey think that's a valid question. People who are bristle, and that's just how it is. Them's fighting words.
You betcha.
All right. Listen, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, mommy-os, daddy-os, kittens and cats. We hope you had a good time. We will be back, and we promise. And in the meantime, if nothing else, because we need it now more than ever, God bless the United States of America.
Samson, speak. Good boy.